JC Corcoran Podcast.
Me too, honey.
Can I watch football with you again next Sunday?
Sure. You'll find it gets rid of the unpleasant aftertaste of church.
But first, ladies and gentlemen, the top 10 really bad football euphemisms for sex. Are you ready? Top 10 really bad football euphemisms for sex. Number 10, charging the hole. Number 9. Splitting the uprights. Number 8, taking it deep. Number 7, getting deep penetration. Number 6, firing one into the tight end. Number 5, moving the chains. Number 4, going for two. Number 3, punching it in. Number 2, being inside the red zone. And the top really bad football euphemism for sex. Coming from behind.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
I'm coming really close to pushing the button for the Schnooks Panic Aisle. Hello. How you doing, kids? JC Corcoran Podcast for Monday, January 9th, 2023. 37 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. All right. For those of you listening early on, and again, when you do a podcast, you got to remember sometimes somebody might be listening to this at 9 o'clock tonight. But if you're amongst the group that listens early in the morning and you have someplace to go, make sure you know what you're doing here, because they are closing down highways. There's been a thin layer of ice and frost and stuff like that. It's wreaking havoc with the roads, especially the bridges and overpasses. There are accidents all over the place. Well, actually, let me see what they're saying.
Been able to see anything just because of the fog. So again, it's one of those cases where
fog on top of it, like frozen fog.
20 minutes, just so you're on time for work, so you have time to.
You got there, and then
it is absolutely not minus 29 in Alton. It's probably closer to 29. I don't know where that minus came from, but it's not minus 29.
Starting off the show with mistakes.
24 right now in Belleville, 19.
All right. Anyhow, suffice to say, there are real, real bad slick spots out there, and it looks horrible. It looks awful out there, and especially with the fog. So, again, be on your toes. Better off here than in Northern California, where they're tomorrow expecting another foot of rain. And some places already had a foot of rain. This is the heaviest rain, they say, they've had since the Civil War out there in California. So, and unfortunately, most of it doesn't do any good with the drought out there, because it just runs off. When it rains that hard, that fast, that much, doesn't do what it's, the rain isn't beneficial. You just get flooding instead. All right. Do you know a lot of people were complaining and laughing and ridiculing and making nasty, snarky comments about ESPN the other night? Because if you're watching, the sideline reporter and then Joe and Troy up in the booth had their mic flag. Now, the mic flag is the little thing that goes on the microphone that it's like a little square, and it tells you what station they're broadcasting from. So now that those guys are on ESPN doing football, they have the E, which is the new logo, relatively new logo for ESPN. So somebody said, you know what, if you take the E and you put the mic flag on upside down, it ends up looking like a 3. And so they're like, oh, that's a great idea. So they all turn their mic flags upside down, the little square on the microphone, so that when you see them, you go, oh, welcome to tonight's game. And there they are. You had the 3. Well, that little brilliant idea went over the heads of a lot of people, and they're like, oh, look at them stupid. They're holding their mics upside down. And then, of course, you got to be the bad guy. You got to be the guy to come along and say, let me explain this to you. So another brilliant idea lost on the stupidity of American sports fans. About the Packers getting eliminated by Detroit last night. And then, I don't know if you saw this or not. This will be all over the news today if you did not manage to catch this. And I wouldn't blame you if you weren't watching that game last night because it was sort of a stinker. But anyhow, I was wondering about this. I'm thinking to myself, boy, after that whole thing with DeMar, you don't want to be the next guy to get hurt on a field during an NFL game. Because people are going to go, oh, God, please, just don't die. Is his heart still beating? It's like, no, people get hurt on the field during football games all the time, remember? And they don't all end up in the hospital. A lot of them get up and walk off the field. So last night in the Packers-Lions game, a guy gets hurt, and a bunch of people are on their hands and knees out there in midfield looking at the guy. They're all kneeled down. They're huddled over him. And another doctor comes running from off on the sidelines, and a lot of players are sort of standing around watching too. And the doctor's access to the injured player is blocked by a player from the Packers who has his back turned on the situation. So the doctor just sort of very gently pushes him to the side, and this guy from the Packers shoves the doctor from behind. And the doctor turns around and looks at him like, what the fuck was that? Linebacker Kay Walker. Is he say Kay or Quay? I can't remember. Kay Walker. And they threw him out of the game, and justifiably so, too. It's like, and they showed him coming off the field like he was all upset. It's like, you shoved a doctor from behind. You're a football player. He's a doctor. And the Packers end up getting eliminated. Wow. Wow. So I put the schedule for the games next weekend. And it's I say weekend, but it actually goes into Monday. You have two games on Saturday. They got three on Sunday, and then you got the Bucks game, Bucks in Dallas. Wow, is that going to get a huge number? And that's going to be on Monday night. Monday night's a day off, too. Or Monday, you know, Monday night's a day off. Jesus. Monday is a holiday. So what I wanted to say is King Day. My daughter goes back to school today, and she goes, she's been off for 2 weeks for Christmas. All right. She goes back today, goes to school for a week, already has another day off on Monday. But some of what we saw yesterday could be the end of not only one era, but a couple of eras, too. Because Tom Brady, becomes a free agent, and he's not expected to stay in Tampa. They're thinking that Sean Payton might go back to New Orleans, run that, and then Tom Brady would be his quarterback in New Orleans. They already fired Lovie Smith down in Houston, and there will probably be more firings of head coaches, which is sort of the tradition in the National Football League once the regular season is over, and people are sitting there going, we don't have any place to go anymore. We wish we were still playing football. Let's fire somebody. And if I could just inject this here so that everybody can get mad at me, because I know that I'm in the minority. I'm an agnostic. Agnostic questions. Well, atheist says there is no God. An agnostic says, I question the existence of God. And more so, as we see these pictures coming from not only the Hubble, but also the James Webb telescope and all that, if that doesn't really sort of shake up your assessment of who we are, how we got here, and where we're going, then I don't really know. But it really pisses me off in a situation like this, where when you got this, you know, this 24-year-old kid almost dies out on the football field, comes back to life and everything like that, and people start going, see, the power of prayer, the power of prayer. It's undeniable. It works. We prayed, and look at that. Well, yeah, you know, the doctors had something to do with it, and the meds and the equipment that we have now and everything like that, you know, that has a lot to do with it too, like all of it. There's a meme that, in anticipation of my remarks here today, there's a meme that basically has, it's a funeral scene. It's a funeral scene. And the caption is, "Dearly beloved, we gather here today because you didn't pray hard enough. Think it over." Well, the fun starts this week on Capitol Hill. Oh, man, just wait. What do you see this spring when they have to decide the debt ceiling? There are guys who want to defund the IRS. They're going to start investigating both Bidens. How the hell does Matt Gaetz have a job still and become elevated to a level of power and influence? You explain that to me, will you? I'm not exactly naive when it comes to the world of politics, and yet I still cannot understand how this guy is out walking around. And like I said, he's ascended to a position of power in the Republican Party. What the fuck is going on? Also, the situation in Idaho is heating up, and there are, I've probably seen 15 different reporters ask different forensic type people and police officials and stuff like that. How could this girl get up in the middle of the night, hear the noise, open the door, and this guy walks right past her and says, "I'm here to help you." She closes the door. Apparently, this happened three different times that night. She ends up locking the door, going to sleep, wakes up the next morning, and four of her roommates are dead. Well, it turns out that it is not uncommon to go into like a frozen shock thing. You know, you're like, what, 20 years old? You've been out drinking all night, so you're probably a little tanked. And, you know, you're hearing noises in the middle of the night, and you see a guy you don't know, dressed in black with, like, you know, a ski cap on and the whole thing, walking down your hallway, and some people would lunge for the cell phone to call 911, and other people, as it has been revealed to us, it's just not that uncommon for people to go into like a frozen state of shock. And that is apparently what happened here. It's not that big a mystery, but it sure looks like they got their guy. So this thing will start unfolding here in the next couple of weeks. I won $4 in the Mega Millions over the weekend. I actually had the Mega Millions number, which was 13. I'm looking, going, holy shit, I got number 13. Then you go back and I only had one other number, so I won $4. Not what I had in mind. Americans spend almost $100 billion a year on the lottery, which is more than we spend on books, movies, music, video games, and tickets to sporting events combined. No, we don't have a gun problem in this country. We only have six-year-olds in school deliberately shooting their elementary school teachers in Virginia. That counterbalanced by the video down in Houston where this guy is sitting there eating in a taco restaurant and you see the overhead security camera and a kid comes in to rob the place, and while he's busy robbing everybody, one of the guys sitting there trying to enjoy his tacos in Houston, Texas, pulls out a gun and shoots him like 14 times. That was the end of that. Gun enthusiasts will jump up and down and point to that as, see, this is why we need people with guns walking around. And I'd be the first to admit that it looks very, very impressive. It's like a bad guy comes in, a good guy with a gun stops the bad guy with a gun. Great. On this particular occasion, what happens now if somebody is just walking in the front door, doesn't know what's going on, comes to the front door and gets hit with a stray bullet? Now, that did not happen in this particular case, but you see what I'm saying? I hope there are some of our well-intentioned listeners and followers out there that insist that my daughter, who seems to display show business type talent, why don't you get her an agent? Why don't you have her act and model and do all that? And my answer is Adam Rich, the kid from Eight Is Enough back in the 1970s. This kid was all fucked up for most of his life. You know, he was on the TV show when he was like, you know, 6 or 7 years old. Show goes off the air. And again, if you start counting up the number of kids who have been on television shows and then have their lives just spiral out of control, it's like 85% of them. You know, every once in a while, you'll get a Lisa Welchel or somebody like that. But for every one of those, it's like there's 10 other of these kids who just can't, you know, you can't expect a kid that age to handle rejection and ridicule and stuff like that. This Adam Rich, this kid was lucky to make it to 54 with everything that he was into. Jimmy Fallon overtly ripping off David Letterman. I couldn't believe it. I was watching the show last week, and he did what was Stupid Pet Tricks. They didn't call it Stupid Pet Tricks. They called it, like, dog Goofy Dogs or something like that. But it was Stupid Pet Tricks. Now, here's the thing. Dave's not on the air now, but if you wanted to do it, you know, just do a little tip of the hat. You know, and this is, you know, we're going to do this thing. It's a very, you know, David Letterman sort of invented this, and we tip our hat to him, much the way that James Lipton on Inside the Actor's Studio would always mention the name of Bernard Pivot, the guy who constructed the little quiz. You know, what's your favorite word, what's your least favorite word, or, you know, the Gates of Heaven thing, all that sort of stuff. But he mentioned his name every time. There's just no shame in the world anymore. It's like these guys over there at Keishi stealing my Party Town stuff. They've been stealing my stuff for years. And yes, there is a difference between stealing and being influenced by something. There is hardly a singer, a dancer, a comedian, an actor. There's hardly anybody who's ever been in show business that didn't, at the very beginning of their career, just overtly rip somebody off. They were like, I like that actor, I like that actress, I like that comedian. And when you start out, you end up basically imitating that person. And then, you know, over the course of time, you sort of slide into your own persona and you create your own thing, but your influence is always there. That's normal. You know, you like Al Pacino, so you start to dress like him and try to look like him and you speak like him. And then eventually, you know, your own style evolves over the course of time, and that's the way it's supposed to go. But just taking somebody's material, taking somebody's intellectual property, and just doing it, and not even mentioning the fact that you are stealing it. A lot of people don't like Jimmy Fallon, and a lot of people don't, I'm talking about the audience, but also a lot of people in the business don't like Jimmy Fallon for reasons just like that. You know, there are stories about what went on Saturday Night Live, where Jimmy Fallon would tell Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, well, I don't think that this is going to work. And Amy Poehler just turned around and looked at him and goes, we don't care what you think. Amy Poehler, by the way, that's not somebody I would want to fuck with. That woman, she knows what she wants. She knows what to do to get her point across. Very, very talented person, but I would not mess with her. Did I mention that I put up the schedule for the weekend of football game? Yeah, I did. I did mention that earlier because that's at the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. I already talked about that. Astronomers have discovered a floating water reservoir in space that is the equivalent to 140 trillion times the amount of water in the world's oceans. It's like a big bag of water just floating around out there that is 140 trillion times more water than we have here on Earth. Here's a picture I'm going to be putting up later. It's a guy with chopsticks over a bowl of ramen noodles, and he's taking the individual ramen noodles and knitting with them, and it works. Oh, last night I put up the picture of a woman standing there with a t-shirt with big block letters, I Heart DP. I Heart DP. I believe that it was a promotional event for Dr. Pepper, but I'm sorry, honey. You're blissfully unaware of what you're doing. The air in the bag of potato chips controversy continues. If you've bought a bag of potato chips in the last 10 years, you know that you pop open the bag and look inside and go, where are the fucking chips? There's like 7 of them laying on the bottom of the bag. And you're like, well, see, I'm paying for all this air. Well, here we go again. There are people who insist that the air is there to keep your chips from getting crushed. The bag is filled by weight, not volume, they say. And also, there's something nitrogen-based, I believe, that they pump in there. So it's not just air. It's something nitrogen-based, and that's supposed to keep your chips fresh. So you can believe all of that? My favorite meme from the weekend, irony is getting pregnant on a pull-out couch. Good morning, everybody. China is scaring the hell out of everybody. They're seeing a million cases a day of COVID in China. Biggest COVID outbreak the world has ever seen. What do you think would happen if the United States government came along and said, guess what, everybody? We got to go back to masks and more vaccinations. Do you think people would even do it? I think there would be a lot of that, fuck you, I'll take my chances stuff. I'd wear the fucking mask. Big deal. Wear the mask. I'm thinking about wearing it right now because the regular flu is going around, and apparently it is a motherfucker, by the way. This flu, whatever it is, there are people saying, oh my God, screw COVID. Wait till you get a dose of this, which frankly is almost like the space program. Because I was looking to the moon last night while I was walking the dog, and I'm looking at myself, wow, we are really patting ourselves on the back for going all the way to our moon. In the meantime, these telescopes are pumping out pictures of the beginning of time. And you're seeing all of these individual galaxies, you know, 500 million, billion, trillion galaxies and stars out there. And we're like, hey, we went to the moon, everybody. If you are a regular listener of the show, you know that I don't really care much for the royals. I'm one of those people who just doesn't understand kings and queens and all that sort of stuff. And I don't know, especially I don't know why Americans are so fascinated by the royals. I guess it's because people think it's like a real life soap opera. We know how much people like daytime dramas. They prefer to be called that instead of soap operas. And even the, you know, the evening shows and the Netflix series and the crime investigations and the reruns on MeTV of Dragnet. People like that sort of stuff. So I'm playing this for two reasons. Number one, I was very, very surprised by this interview on 60 Minutes last night. Anderson Cooper interviewing Prince Harry, who has a new book out. And the reason I'm playing it is because I was not expecting the interview to be any good. I watched it because when you do a job like this, you have to sort of know everything just in case something does happen. And in this particular case, I think it did, because this is this has nothing to do with being a royal. It has to do with the fact that it was a little kid. You know, you get awakened in the middle of the night by your dad, who comes in and says, your mom's been in an accident, and we're thinking that maybe the worst has occurred here. And Anderson Cooper got into the whole idea of grief. This is not about Prince Harry and the royal family. This is about raw human emotion. And I just find this, I found this thing fascinating last night.
You write in the book, you say, I'd often say it to myself first thing in the morning, maybe this is the day. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is the day that she's going to reappear.
Yeah, hope. I had huge amounts of hope.
He held on to that hope into adulthood. When Harry was 20, he asked to see the police report about the crash that killed his mother, her boyfriend Dodi Al-Fayed, and their driver Henri Paul while they were being pursued by paparazzi in a Paris tunnel.
The files contained photographs of the crash scene. Why did you want to see it?
Mainly proof. Proof that she was in the car. Proof that she was injured. And proof that the very paparazzi that chased her into the tunnel were the ones that were taking photographs of her lying half dead on the back seat of the car.
You write, I hadn't been aware before this moment, talking about looking at the pictures of the crash scene, that the last thing Mummy saw on this earth was a flashbulb.
Yep.
That's what you saw in the pictures.
Mm-hmm. Well, the pictures showed the reflection of a group of photographers taking photographs through the window, and the reflection of the window was them.
He only saw some of the crash photos. His private secretary and advisor dissuaded him from looking at the rest.
All I saw was the back of my mom's head, slumped on the back seat. There were other more gruesome photographs, but I will be eternally grateful to him for denying me the ability to inflict pain on myself by saying that, because that's the kind of stuff that sticks in your mind forever.
Harry says he believed his mother might still be alive until he was 23 and visited Paris for the first time.
You told your driver, I want to go to the tunnel where my mom died.
Yeah. I wanted to see whether it was possible, driving at the speed that Henry Paul was driving, that you could lose control of a car and plow into a pillar, killing almost everybody in that car. I need to take this journey. I need to ride the same route.
The same tunnel, the same speed.
All of it.
Your mother was going.
Yep. Because William and I had already been told the event was like a bicycle chain. If you remove one of those chains, the end result would not have happened. And the paparazzi chasing was part of that. But yet, everybody got away with it.
Harry writes he and his brother weren't satisfied with the results of a 2006 investigation by London's Metropolitan Police, concluding Diana's driver, Henri Paul, had been drinking, and the crash was a, quote, tragic accident.
William and I considered reopening the inquest because there were so many gaps and so many holes in it, which just didn't add up and didn't make sense.
Would you still like to do that?
I don't even know if it's an option now, but no, I think... Would I like to do that now? It's a hell of a question, Anderson.
Do you feel you have the answers that you need to have about what happened to your mom?
Truth be known, no.
Like I said, that's not what I was expecting. You know, instead, it's the story of a little boy who's told that his mom has died and believes until he's 23 that maybe it was a hoax and maybe somehow she's still alive and maybe somehow she's still coming back. You know, you have to put yourself in the mind of a little boy that age and the fact that he was carrying that around his entire life, thinking that his mom was going to come back until he was 23 years old. You can pull down the entire Anderson Cooper interview from the CNN website, and it's all over the internet this morning, too. And there's one other really good soundbite from that interview that I'm going to play tomorrow because I think it pairs nicely with something else. But you're going to have to wait till tomorrow because I got to dig that up. I got to find that. But I think it's really, really interesting how it connects to the story of another very, very incredibly famous person whose insecurities manifest themselves in all different ways. But I'll get to that tomorrow. All right. Birthdays today, speaking of royals, Kate Middleton, 41, Dave Matthews, 56, J.K. Simmons, one of the better actors we have going right now, and also really good in the television commercials, J.K. Simmons, 68 today, Crystal Gayle, 72, Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin, 79, Joan Baez is 82. I've often been asked this question. I give the same answer all the time. People say out of all of the beautiful Hollywood actresses, show business, singers, whatever the case may be, who is the prettiest? And I always tell them, well, it sort of breaks down into a couple of different categories. But the one that just shocked me more than anything at age 44, I mean, she's somewhere in her 70s now. But when she was 44 years old, I interviewed Dolly Parton for Steel Magnolias. And she didn't have all that shit all over herself. She just had a regular haircut and regular clothes. And she was just sitting there in regular hair and makeup. And I was blown away by how pretty she was. And also her skin, like in her chest, she was wearing this very low cut thing. Imagine that. And just the skin on her chest, right above her boobs, it looked like a dairy product. It's just unbelievable. But just in terms of overall, you see somebody and you go, all right, that's the one I'd like to wake up to every morning because, God, she's pretty. And it was Yasmine Bleeth from Baywatch. And I met her a couple of times. She was in St. Louis for the Planet Hollywood grand opening. She walked the red carpet and we hung out a little bit. She threw out the first pitch at a Cardinal game. And I sat with her in the press box for a while, got to know her, got an autographed baseball, whole thing, you know. So I spent basically a better part of a week hanging out with Yasmine Bleeth. And, you know, she was dating that Richard Grieco guy at the time. And she was constantly calling him. He was calling her and thinking to myself, that guy's a little bit on the greasy side. What's the deal? She seemed so angelic, so cherubic, just the girl next door. If the girl next door was the prettiest girl you ever saw on earth, and she had this chubby little keister on her, oh my God, she was just knockout beautiful. And it never occurred to me that she would go this way. Like I said, except for the Richard Grieco thing, was like, well, but a lot of really beautiful women, like bad boy type actors and show business types and athletes and stuff like that. So that's probably normal. You know, the whole Megan Fox thing with Machine Gun Kelly. All right. So anyhow, back in 2002, the police pull her over in Detroit and she's got syringes. She's got liquid cocaine, a baggie with some powdered blow, and even more of the Bolivian marching powder in her hotel room. Awful mugshot. She put on a ton of weight, and it's just a very, very sad ending to the whole Yasmine Bleeth story. But I'm telling you, in her prime, 99. Ooh! And that might be the only time I make that sound all day today. All right, late night, Jimmy Fallon's got Al Pacino. Jimmy Kimmel's got Iggy Pop, Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. Colbert's got Tom Hanks, Gwyneth Paltrow and Hilary Swank. Pop up with James Corden and Allison Williams. Will be the guest of Seth Meyers. And one of the stars of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Jen Shah, has been sentenced to more than 6 years in prison for wire fraud. She's not happy about it, obviously, but she's looking forward to being in prison where she'll do less fighting. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Monday, January 9th, 2023, is in the can. 37 days until those beautiful fields Right down the street from here are populated by Major League Baseball players, pitchers, and catchers. Report to Jupiter, Florida, coming up in 37 days. All right, we need your help as always. Please spread the word that we're doing the podcast here. As you know, absolutely free. We made it as easy as possible. You just click on it, you click on it, and the next thing you know, you're hearing my beautiful voice. So spread the word, please. We are here every weekday morning right about this time. You may email me, jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day. Watch out for those slippery spots here for the next hour or two. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.